Hey, Summit Church, I had an unfortunate thing happen this weekend, and that is on Thursday morning, my grandmother went home to be with Jesus, and so I'm at the funeral this weekend, which is why I'm not here. I hate missing. I wasn't here last week or the week before that, and I hate missing that time with you to lead you in the preaching of the Word, but this was my last living grandparent, and I felt like it's one of the last times my extended family will be getting together, and I felt like it was important to prioritize that time. So I'm sorry not to be with you. I would appreciate your prayers for our family as we, mourn her loss, but celebrate the fact that she is now seeing with her eyes what we only long to see by faith. So I've asked this weekend, since I'm not here preaching, that Rodell, one of our campus pastors, speak to you. He's got a great message that God has laid on his heart that he shared with me, and he's going to come up here in just a second and preach to you. So I want you to give him at all of our campuses, I want you to give him your full attention, and I want you to respond. He's a great speaker, and he's got a very anointed word. I love listening to this guy expound scripture, and I love watching him worship. So we're going to be grateful to hear from him. I also just want to take this opportunity to wish you a happy Martin Luther King holiday, to acknowledge this holiday as how important it is in our society and what we celebrate in the way God has blessed our society and help us understand that God has made of one race all people of different colors, different languages, and it makes us remember that ultimately Jesus died to produce not different races of people, but one united humanity that have in common, not their cultural preferences, but what they have in common is their faith in Jesus Christ and their love for him. So happy Martin Luther King weekend, and I hope you have a good holiday. At this time, at all of our campuses, if you would put your hands together, and let's welcome Rodell Hernandez to our pulpit.
Buenos días. Bienvenidos a nuestra iglesia. Espero que estén bien esta mañana. Really good to be with you. You're going to need a translator today, by the way, so go ahead and put your little headsets on. I'm your Spanish campus pastor. I can't believe that I can preach to you in English, especially when I'm still taking ESL classes. You know, I think this is just a great feat. I still say things like chicken instead of, what is it, chicken? You know, thinking of that, I was thinking of chicken and a great chicken story. When I got to North Carolina, I noticed they have this great place where they sell chicken. And I was hanging out with this pastor's daughter. And I told her, you know, can you take me to that place where they sell chicken? You know, fillet chick. And she's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, oh, Chick-fil-A. Oh, yeah, I'll take it. Well, we came back to her house. She told her dad that I was with her and that I went with her to fill a chick, and he almost had me arrested and deported, but thank God I'm still here. It's kind of weird because, you know, I'm not supposed to say chicken, but however, I'm supposed to say Chicago. You know, if chicken is chicken, then Chicago is Chicago. So make up your mind about English and then come to me later to teach me. I'm really glad to be here sharing with y'all. I'm not one of those guys that really that care much about sermon titles. I never really worried much about sermon titles. However, today, at the light of the passage that we're going to consider together, I've actually titled this sermon, this message, and I've titled it Casi Cielo. And I'm not sure if it was God or me and my craving for Starbucks coffee, but while I was standing at Starbucks the other day, it caught my eye, this coffee that they have that they sell from Guatemala. They told me that they only sell it a couple times a year, and this coffee, that's what it's called, Casi Cielo, you know? And I really, really wanted for our church to serve this particular coffee today, but at $13 a pound, our church leadership didn't think it was a great use of our money, which I completely disagree. So you're going to have to continue to drink the lousy coffee that we serve here every Sunday morning. But I was just really, really scared also of our CPA. I don't know if you've seen that guy, Tim Jackson. he's like ripped. And, you know, I know that if I spend $500 on coffee, he's going to hunt me down all the way down to Mexico and kill me or something. But anyways, this coffee is the title of our message today. Casi Cielo, which translated in English, of course, means almost heaven. Now, that's a pretty negative title, isn't it? Almost heaven. But I believe that at the light of the passage we're going to look at together today, almost heaven, in my opinion, is the reality of many Christians today. And I would even say that almost heaven could be the reality of many churches today as well. Almost heaven, but not quite. And folks, let me tell you that almost is a pathetic word. It's a terrible word. No one's ever proud of saying almost. No one ever says that. I mean, my people don't ever say, I almost crossed the border. I mean, they never say that, you know. It's like, we either cross it or we don't. But, you know, we don't almost. You know, no one ever says, I almost graduated. Or you won't ever hear a Tar Heel say, you know, UNC almost won. I mean, that happens to them all the time. They almost win, but, you know. I'm a Duke fan. I went to Duke. you know, I don't ever say I almost ate the best chocolate cake of my life. I mean, I love food too much to almost eat it. But there are too many almost that are really just not funny. And this is true. You know, at the light of our economy today, it's really not funny when we almost get the job. No one ever sits down with their spouse and says, honey, you know what? I have great news. We almost got pregnant. You know, when my wife Abby and I, when we lost our first two babies, you know, it wasn't funny to almost have a baby. And church, almost is never good news. By God's grace, today we have more kids than we know what to do with, you know. Plus, I'm Latino. I'm supposed to have a bunch of kids, right? You know, I think JD thinks he's Latino because there's a bunch of them too, you know. But seriously, listen, church, almost, casi, is really not funny. And I would like for us today to make a clear connection that our days that we live here on this earth are to be lived with an eternal perspective. And as you turn to 2 Peter with me, we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3. And today, Peter is saying here, church, almost heaven is not enough. It's actually pretty bad. And as you turn there with me, the title of that passage in your Bible should say something along the lines of, the day of the Lord will come. Depending on what translation you have, but it will say something along the lines of, the day of the Lord will come. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. In other words, you knuckleheads, I've written this to you before and you still don't get it. Notice that Peter says, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. What a nice way to say, I'm going to slap you across the head if you forget this. What is Peter writing to them and to us? What is it that Peter doesn't want them to lose sight of? Next verse. That you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. What predictions? That Christ is coming again, and we'll see that in the coming verses. Peter is saying, remember that Christ is coming back. Peter is talking about heaven. Peter is talking about the kingdom of God that is to fully come soon. Peter is talking about the Christ that is to come any day now. Peter is talking about living heaven-bound on earth, living our days here with an eternal perspective. Peter is talking about eternity indeed, and I really want us, if we could reason together and consider together one of the most important connections that we can make while on this earth, in my opinion, and that is the connection of our present days with eternity. And if we're honest, sometimes we're so trapped in the present day that we lose sight of eternity. Sometimes we're so enamored and trapped with earth and the things of this earth that we lose sight of heaven altogether. We're like the football player that drops the ball because he's thinking of the yardage he can gain before he actually catches the ball. Guess what, buddy? You got to catch the ball first in order to run with it. And God is saying to us here, church, you got to catch this in your daily walk with me while on earth. That Christ is coming again for his church. That we are in the world, but that we're not of the world. That living a mission with God and for God's glory is the best life we can live in this world. Mindful that this earth too shall pass. And God wants to remind us that this earth is just a layover for those who belong to Christ. This is not our destination. This is just a layover. Why does Peter have to remind the church this again and again? Verse 3. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Have you ever, heard somebody say, Christ ain't coming. Everything's still the same. That's what scoffers do. And now let me admit to you that the first time I read this, due to my terrible English, I really thought that scoffers were those people that wear that stuff around their neck, scarves, I mean, it made sense to me. Scoffers, scarves, They wear it to what? Hide their age and stuff, not put makeup on the neck or something. But, I was really thinking, scoffers, scarves, tomatoes, tomatoes, But thank God for Google Translator. I put it in there, and then I'm like, oh, that's what that is. Peter is reminding us that we have indeed scoffers among us that are scoffing eternity and the coming of Christ. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, at least I'm not a scoffer. I'm many things, but not a scoffer. Well, you know what? A scoffer is not just someone that laughs at something they're not supposed to laugh. A scoffer is someone that doesn't take something seriously that he or she is supposed to take seriously. Some of you are caught, and then you get a speeding ticket for scoffing the speed limit, And so a scoffer is not just somebody that laughs about something they're not supposed to laugh, but it's also someone that doesn't take something seriously. And what God is telling us is that when you live your days indulging yourself, thinking about self, thinking about me, what I can get to buy for me, consume thinking of the person that is going to marry me. If you're in seminary, perhaps you're thinking too much of the church that God has for me. And God is saying, when your daily meditation is you, when your world revolves around you and your glory, you have forgotten eternity. You too are not living with an eternal perspective. You too, my friends, don't really take eternity seriously. Therefore, that welcomes you to the club of these scoffers. Welcome to the club of those who do not take eternity seriously. Because what's on your mind daily, really, is your kingdom and not God's kingdom. Listen, I'm not saying that I don't struggle with this myself. But God wants to reel us back today, and you can't do it on your own. You must surrender that self, yourself, to Jesus if you want to live daily with an eternal perspective. You can't do it on your own. I was counseling a guy the other day, and by the way, I don't know if you've seen, have you ever seen that Geico commercial that they put the drill sergeant as a therapist? I'm kind of that counselor. If you ever get counseling with me here at the summit, I want to throw the tissue box at your face and say, men up and love Jesus. And so I also preach like that, so I'm sorry if I'm hurting some of you. Just think of it as you're watching a Spanish soap opera, a little dramatic, But this guy was really having so many issues, and I thought, man, you know what your problem is? Yourself. Go kill yourself. And he was like, what? No, no, no. And they'll walk out of church, by the way. We don't want anybody to kill themselves. But he really got what I was trying to say. And that is that it is our self. Self kills us. Self kills a church. Now, self can't kill itself. But Jesus went to the cross himself to nail sin and self, and in the process gave us himself. What a glorious exchange. And now that self was nailed to the cross, I can live for him. I can have the freedom to live for him and I wait for him. This is a society that loves to exalt self. I've lived in 3 different countries, and you ain't gonna lie to me. I don't have to give you examples. This society exalts self. But folks, let's exalt Jesus. Let's ask the Holy Spirit of God to tap us in the shoulder daily, hourly, to remind us to be mindful of him, of eternity, of his kingdom, of his return, so that we may align our daily activities with eternity purposes. I know it's great praying and doing your morning time. That's awesome. Praise God. Keep doing that. But keep asking the Holy Spirit to tap you on the shoulder along the day, to remind you of him and to live thinking of eternity while on this earth. And I'm not telling you not to go to the games. I'm not telling you not to go to Starbucks. But, you know, just do things with kingdom focus, with eternal perspective. When I go to Starbucks, I pretend that I go to study. You know, I go in there, open my laptop. But what I'm really doing is I'm scouting to see what Latino is going to drop in the door, you know. I know when they come in, they all look the same. You know, we all have a tan and broken English, you know. It's just the same. And so when they come in, you know, my thing I changed from preparing the sermon or studying to how in the world can I start a conversation with this guy that I can relate to because I speak Spanish? How in the world can I get this guy so that I can share the gospel with him? So I'm not saying not to do what you're doing. I'm just saying do it with eternity in your mind. Verse 5, for they deliberately overlook this fact. They who? Those who don't take eternity seriously. They deliberately overlook this fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. I love what Peter does here. He takes us back to Genesis 1. We're going to see it in a minute. This is just good stuff that Peter does here. We're talking about letting God intervene in our daily thoughts and life, but many of us are like, heck no. No one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me what to want. No one's going to tell me what to dream. I'm the captain of my own ship. Oh, really? Really? Here's the huge irony that verse 5 reveals to us. You don't want God to intervene in your daily lives, but the fact is that if it wasn't for God's intervention to begin with, this world and your pretty little self wouldn't even exist. Let's read the verse again. For they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago when you weren't around, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. It took God's intervention, it took God's word to create the earth. It took God's divine intervention to tell the water and the land to separate. This earth was nothing but a pile of slushy stuff. Thinking of a bad word here. No, Jesus, no. No. That ain't Jesus, by the way. It was just a pile of slushy stuff, land mixed with water together. But the word of God came. But God's intervention came. And he parted the waters and he parted the land. And the reason why you don't get swallowed up at the beach is because God told the ocean to stop right there. And so we needed God's intervention then, and we need God's intervention now. So why continue with the stuck-up attitude that says, I don't need Jesus? When if it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't even have a life and a world to live in. It was God's word that made everything well then. And you know what? It is God's word that makes you well today. It is his word that makes you well today. His word says things like, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are here on this earth awake or in eternity asleep, we might live with him. The point is to live with him here and there. The word of God says things like John 3:16 and 17. Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's the word of God that makes you well today as well. His word says, though mom and dad may not be around, the Lord will receive you, Psalm 27:10. And his word says here in the following verses of 2 Peter 3, that this world won't last forever and that you need to live with that in mind daily. It's wonderful when we really get that this world and the things of this world are temporary. I recently moved from the country here to near the Briar Creek campus. I used to own a home out there in the country. And I rented a house out here to hopefully better serve you, be closer to y'all. And one of the things that I love about living in a rented house, you know what it is? I love that my family and I, we are continually mindful that the house is not ours. For example, when I see one of my kids with a cup of milk running through the house on top of the carpet, I scream, stop! The carpet is not ours, you know? Or whenever I see, I have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old that I know of, and I'm just kidding, just kidding. I see my 2-year-old with a crayon in his hand, giving that wall a look, like if it's a blank canvas, you know? And I come and I tackle him with everything I got, you know? And I say, these walls are not ours. Can't paint the walls, the house is rented, can't do a thing to it. And I love it. You know why? I love that because I love the reminder that the house isn't mine. And you know what? Whether your name is on the deed or not, it doesn't matter. Nothing in this world is yours. It all belongs to God, and it is to be used for his glory. Besides, why will you get attached to something that's going to burn up anyways? Let's see what I mean, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word. Let's take a pause right there. He's saying the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word. If the earth is still spinning on its axis and it hasn't gotten out of orbit yet, it's because God told it one day to sit there pretty and spin around. It is his word that prevents it from going out of orbit. I'm actually impressed with my English today. I think I'm doing okay. I said the word axis. Where did I come from? I don't know. I'm online too much. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In other words, scoffers, let them say what they may, but don't forget that this earth won't last forever. In my very personal opinion, global warming is more real than you think. In fact, I think it's more like global melting that you should be worrying about. And I really want to throw a disclaimer here. I know that eschatology, on this topic of the end times, it's very controversial. I know that every theologian in the world has a different opinion. And I know that I disagree with most of them. but the point that Peter, whether Peter is saying here that the earth will be purified instead of being melted down, the point is, don't get caught up with that. The point that Peter is trying to tell us here is, guys, just store up treasures in heaven. The bank account that matters is the one that is in heaven. And listen, it's not worth it to live attached to false saviors of this earth that will perish and never satisfy you anyways. And God is reminding us this out of complete love for us. God knows that the one and only true love is Him. He is love itself. And so God is reeling you back to Him. And that is a total act of mercy on His part. Because like the Word says in Matthew's, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And perhaps you're questioning the heart of God. If you're questioning, why is it that God wants you to live every second of this life on mission with Him? If you're questioning, why is it that you must render everything you got for His glory? Then the next two verses should blow your mind. To me, these next two verses are such a beautiful highlight in the passage, verse 8 and 9. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved. And he kept saying fact. I love it. That with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Church, the Lord is not taking too long, as some think, but He is being patient with you and with me and the ones that are not here yet, because God does not wish that any of us should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That's the heart of God, church. Sinners, you and I, and the ones that are not sitting here with us yet. That is the heart of God. What glorious love, what glorious patience that He is having right now with all of us. What glorious patience, what mercy, what grace. Because if God really wanted to, He can descend right now. But because of His glorious love and patience with us and the ones that have not surrendered their hearts to Him yet, because of His mercy and grace, He hasn't yet come, for He wishes all to reach repentance. That's why Jesus broke the plane of this earth. Because only in Jesus there is true repentance and a way to the Father. You know, mercy means not getting what we deserve. We deserve the wrath of God, and we got Jesus. What a nice trade-off. So I love that song, I'm Trading My Sorrows. What a nice deal for me. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve Jesus. We don't deserve forgiveness of sin and a restored relationship with God. And we definitely don't deserve eternal life. But that's the grace of God for us. Can we read that verse 9 again? The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise. No, He's not. As some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burnt up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. You know what's really, really sad about that verse for me personally? For the longest time, I've heard that verse. Lord's coming like a thief in the night. And in my nasty, selfish sin, all I can think about every time I hear that verse is, am I ready for the coming of the Lord? So sad. And then I check off that box. Oh, yes. I said the sinner's prayer. I'm ready. Check off that box and keep on living. Really? After God just poured out His heart right in the verse before, that He's having patience with all of us because He wants everyone to reach repentance, and I can just go on like that? And for the first time in my life, I wept. I said, this is not about me. It ain't about you either. It's about those who don't know him yet. And God is saying, rejoice, yes, that I'm having patience with you all, but let's get to work. Let's spread this glorious gospel. Let's live with an eternal perspective, knowing where we're going. One thing that I love to say all the time at the Spanish campus is, this church is not about Latinos. This church is not about Asians or African Americans or white Americans. This church is about Christ. The word says that we are all citizens from heaven awaiting a Savior. It's good to know where you're going, and it's good to show it too. It is not that I'm not proud of where I'm from. I love of where I'm from. But you know what? I'm more proud of where I'm going. So let's live in this world, yes, but completely mindful of eternity to come, with the cross of Christ vivid in our minds, our hearts, for salvation of this world. Verse 15 says, puts it beautifully, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him. I love what Peter does here. You know, he acknowledges Paul. Now, be mindful that Peter and Paul will go at each other. You know, you have that person in your life you go at it with. And these two were fighting each other all the time. And now, Peter's kind of saying, hey, you know, little Paul over there, man, the man was right. And the funny thing is that Paul even gives the same advice that Peter is giving in Colossians 2. In fact, I think that maybe Peter hacked this sermon off of Paul. You know, but it's okay because I'm hacking it off of Peter. Colossians 2 says, this is in the words of Paul, says, if then you have been raised with Christ, what are you doing seeking the things of this earth? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And what a glorious promise. Verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, the very same Christ that Peter is telling us will appear, then you also will appear with him in glory. Awesome. Awesome. That's when life really starts. We're going to have a blast in heaven. We're going to drink margaritas and Coronas all we want. Smoke Cuban cigars that weren't from. I'm from Cuba. We have great cigars. For right now, continue to do that in hiding. Thank God this ain't being recorded, is it? Listen, this is supposed to be a joyful layover. It's joyful when you have in mind that they're going to pick you up to heaven and glory. Death is not bad news, folks. It is the freedom of the cross that allows us to live with heavenly perspective. And folks, let's not lose sight of heaven while on this earth. Want to know how you can do that? Looking to Jesus, says Hebrew, the founder and perfecter of our faith. That's what we look at every day. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated, love it, just keeps pointing us to where, to eternity, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I would like to end with this illustration, followed by a couple of remarks and the last verse of the chapter. It's about Florence Chadwick. Florence Chadwick was the first woman to cross the English Channel in both directions. She set her goal at being the first woman to swim the 26 miles between Catalina Island and the coast of California. I've been to California plenty of time. I've actually driven that California coast drive, and I go every year to buy my license and come back. But no, I'm just kidding. But I've been to California, and I know what she's talking about. She wanted to swim. She wanted to be the first woman to swim from Catalina Island to the coast of California. And so In 1952, she hit the water. You know, she's still swimming. No, I'm just kidding. But she hit the water, and after about 15 hours into the swim, 15 hours, a very thick, heavy fog set in. And she ended up quitting. You can actually Google this, and you can actually see real pictures from that day. The fog was incredible. You couldn't even see the rescue boat. I mean, it was just bad. She didn't make it to the coastline. When she got on the boat, they told her, honey, you're 1 mile away from the coastline. Wow, that's pretty sad. You've been swimming for 15 hours. Solo para enterarte que casi llegas. Just to find out that you almost made it. But almost ain't funny, is it? Florence explained that she quit because she couldn't see. She just couldn't see the coastline. 2 months later, she got back in the water to try it again. The same thick fog set in again, but this time she made it. Florence Chadwick became the first woman to swim the Catalina Channel. Listen to this. Eclipsing the men's record by 2 hours. You go, girl. She beat the fastest guy by 2 hours. That's a beating. She set the record. Until the government find out that one of my people had crossed that channel in 5 minutes trying to come to U.S. But that's not on the record. You go, Julio. Listen. When they asked her how she did it, especially in that heavy fog, they're like, how did you do it? You couldn't see a thing this time either. You know what she said? She said, the fog was all around me, yes, but the sight of the coastline was really all I had on my mind all the time. And I'm not trying to make Florence the hero here today. Jesus is the hero of humanity. But I really want you to live this life with the sight of the cross of Jesus Christ imprinted in your mind daily while on this earth. Because we too want to make it to eternity with God, but not alone. With our friends, our unsaved friends, and our family, and our city, and our world. And my question to you this morning is, what is it that is on your mind really, daily? Is it Christ, or are you distracted with this fog of this world? Is it those that haven't yet heard and seen a pure gospel in your neighborhood, in your city, in your world? And I'm not sure where your mental picture and desires are, but my coastline, my desire is to see Jesus become the Lord of every single area of my life and to see my friends, my family, my city, and my world acknowledge the saving grace of the Son of God. That keeps me going despite the fogginess of this world. And let me tell you that it's just worth it. It's living for Jesus is worth it. Who cares about what you have or don't have? Who cares if you rent the house or own it or don't have one at all? Eternity is coming, baby. Hallelujah. Put what you have to work for God's glory. Church, what good would it be to hear casi cielo, almost heaven? What good would it be to hear RDU almost saw Christians on mission with God? What good would it be to hear, man, those people at the Summit Church, they almost made a difference. How sad would it be to hear that we almost love God, that we almost love each other, and that we almost loved our world. But in Jesus' name we pray that will never happen. Lift up your eyes to the hill. Where does your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And by the way, I figure out why that Starbucks coffee is called Casi Cielo. It's called almost heaven because as good as Starbucks may be, it ain't heaven. It ain't, it's casi cielo, but it ain't heaven. So get over your Starbucks infatuation and keep drinking our lousy coffee. Guys, we're 16 days into the year. And I'm urging you to let's make this year about eternal treasure. Treasures. To set your minds on things above. To set your eyes on Jesus and open up your hearts to his kingdom to come on your lives. Let us start living for heaven while on earth. And I urge you to let's pray our behinds off to see the kingdom of God come to our city, to our world, and so that we may see the patience of the Lord at work for salvation of those who do not know him yet. The last verse of this chapter, last verse of Peter's letter altogether, leaves us with this charge. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and for eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Yes, Lord. May we live for your glory and grow in your grace. Jesus, I ask you that in your name, we may surrender ourselves to you. Self and sin. You are the only one that can conquer those, that have conquered those. You are victorious indeed. You are coming again soon. Thank you, God. But Lord, we have many friends. We have family members. We have people in our city, in our world, that don't yet know you. And Lord, we want to join with you, with your heart. And we pray that we may see your patience, which is as for salvation, at work for salvation of those who don't know you yet. Strip us of everything that has nothing to do with your kingdom. And let us set our minds on you so we may live daily with eternal perspective. In Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen.